Hello, everybody. This is Chris with the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. And if you're like me, you're wondering what to do for Valentine's Day. It's right around the corner. Go to Sherry's Berries today. Happiness delivered. Sherry's Berries is an iconic brand that has been delighting customers with decadent, imaginative, gourmet food gifts for decades, featuring an irresistible assortment of treats dipped in indulgent toppings, including its famous farm fresh strawberries. Sherry's Berries is perfect for any occasion, but let's face it, the occasion that's coming up is Valentine's Day. You can choose from 12 different toppings. There's 9 million plus strawberries that are dipped annually. 30 gift varieties. What are you waiting for? Go to Sherry's Berries. It's berries.com. 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 Pick from a many innovative products. The talented artisans at Sherry's Berries craft deliciously different creations using only the freshest ingredients. Every juicy dipped berry is decorated with care using decadent toppings like ground toffee, drizzle, chocolate chips, and sprinkles. They are amazing. And when I buy them for my wife, she hardly gets to try them because I eat them all. That's how great they are. Go to berries.com today. You know, some people think that I tell my story to get praise or to, you know, be on the news or be on shows like this. And you don't realize how difficult it is to become so vulnerable and to open your family up to that scrutiny. But I know how important it is, because when a news segment airs, I get hundreds and sometimes thousands of comments and messages and people who are suffering in silence, and they tell me how much inspiration they get. And so I don't want my struggles and everything that I've suffered to be in vain. Like, I really believe that God gives people struggles and trials to overcome them and then to be that hope and help to other people.
And a Safford City Council member is suspending his campaign for Congress.
A Safford City Councilman has suspended his campaign for Congress after suffering a heroin overdose.
His name is Chris Taylor. You may actually know the name very well. It's been very publicized here in the Arizona media and the Arizona press.
Chris Taylor was running for the Republican nomination to challenge Democrat Tom O'Halloran this November.
And tonight, Chris Taylor says he is seeking treatment for substance abuse.
We first met Chris Taylor in 2017 as we dug in on the opioid problem plaguing the eastern Arizona city of Safford.
In a previous campaign ad, Taylor opened up about his struggles with opioid addiction after two tours in Afghanistan.
Taylor, a veteran who fought off addiction to open his own treatment center, was poised to be the success story for Safford. But he went backwards as old demons resurfaced last week. A relapse that resulted in an overdose. In a statement to suspend his congressional campaign, Taylor was very direct, saying, quote, "I'm not going to hide from this. I'm not ashamed of what happened. I wish to sincerely apologize to the amazing people who have supported me. It's a haunting reminder of a dark past that will always be looking over the shoulder of a bright future."
All right, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. I'm your host, Chris Taylor, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about a somewhat of a controversial subject. And I didn't know, I really didn't have any intention on having an episode like about this or a segment about this, but I have been seeing a lot of, controversy over this, and for good reason. I mean, I understand it, but at the same time, I don't understand it. And what I'm talking about is JoJo Siwa and her big revelation that she revealed to her millions and millions and millions of followers, from very young children all the way up to teenagers and adults. JoJo Siwa is a mega superstar of epic proportions. She, I think, has just turned 18. She's been in the public eye since she was like 10 or younger. JoJo Siwa is a big part of my house. And that's because I have a 5-year-old daughter who loves unicorns and rainbows and dancing. She's a dancer, a gymnast, just a regular little girl. And JoJo Siwa has so many different products, from clothes to shoes to hair to bows to hair ties to backpacks to lunch pails. You name it, she has it and she sells it. And, you know, my daughter loves it. And she started watching her on some reality show. Like, I think it's called like Dance Moms or something. And it's like a competition, kind of like America's Got Talent or something like that, but it's just for dancing. And it kind of goes behind the scenes of the intense world of competitive dancing for young girls. And it's like it's a whole drama with the judges and the moms. It's like, it's a train wreck. But that's where I believe JoJo got her start, and she catapulted herself into superstardom. And she is, maybe she's 17. I think she's 17. Maybe she just turned 18. I'm not sure. That's really irrelevant. The news that she that broke this last week, and where I'm seeing just a lot of mixed reactions to, she came out as homosexual, as gay, lesbian. She did it in a way that was so 21st century. I watched a interview with her on Jimmy Fallon that she did, and which is a late night comedy show. And, you know, she's like, apparently she's been out of the closet, so to speak. I don't know why that term is still used, but it is. She's been with her parents and her family and her extended family and her close friends. Apparently she's been openly gay with them for who knows how long, a year or more. I don't know. She has a serious girlfriend, apparently. And so really this last week, she came out to her 50 million social media followers. And then, of course, it was major news because she's a childhood star, Nickelodeon superstar, that's a role model to, you know, millions of little girls and boys, for that matter. Like I said, my daughter, she's 5 years old. She's in kindergarten. She wears JoJo. She has something of JoJo on every day of the week in terms of what she wears to school. Her backpack is JoJo. Her lunch pail is JoJo. She has JoJo shirts. She has JoJo underwear. She has JoJo socks. She has JoJo shoes. She has JoJo hair ties and hair bows. She has JoJo toys. She has JoJo everything. JoJo. She's had JoJo birthday party themed birthday parties. Everything. You name it. She loves JoJo. And then anything that is rainbow or multicolored or unicorns, even if it's not JoJo's, my daughter thinks it's JoJo's, right? And so she loves it. She can't get enough of it. And I've always been completely fine with that. You know, you're always cautious because as these teenage or tween, these between kids and teenagers, they go into the teenage years, these child actors and stars. I grew up, when I was growing up, with Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and Mandy Moore and all of these type of people, the Mickey Mouse Mouseketeers, right? And then they got a little bit older and they grew up. And as I went into junior high and to high school, Britney Spears was all the rage, right? She got a little bit older. She outgrew her Disney Channel upbringing, and she became a global superstar. She had multiple huge hit songs, and in those songs, she did not dress modestly. She, you know, it was a problem that parents had to deal with and tackle when you have these teenage boys that grew up watching these Mouseketeers grow up into now, you know, they're you know what I'm trying to say, right? And so it's and then as I got a little bit older into my 20s, late 20s, I was too old, obviously, for Hannah Montana. But I knew who she was. I knew that she was Billy Ray Cyrus's daughter. And of course, I'm talking about Miley Cyrus. On the Disney Channel, she was known as Hannah Montana. She had a major hit show. I think she put out several albums of songs under the moniker Hannah Montana through the Disney Corporation. And then she turned 18 and Miley went off the rails, right? She obviously had some substance use issues. She was a childhood superstar, and we all know about that Hollywood cautionary tale of the teen heartthrobs or the, you know, young childhood actors that grow up and they are all kinds of messed up. And you know, the famous or infamous situation with Robin Thicke and Miley Cyrus at the VMAs, or some, maybe it was the Grammys or whatever. She was off the rails, and it hurt her brand, it hurt her following, it, you know, all of that stuff. And so as I have, you know, as I am a responsible parent, and I have a growing daughter who, she's 5 years old. She watches YouTube. She knows, just ever since she was 2 years old, she knows how to use a smartphone better than her grandmother's. You know, she's now in kindergarten, so she can read. So now she's able to type in what she wants to watch on YouTube. JoJo, she knows how to spell JoJo. You know, so you as a parent, you're always, you want to be aware of what they are watching and who their influencers are, and you know what they're being influenced by. There's all kinds of things on YouTube that are geared towards children that aren't good. And I'm not even saying sinister. There's some of these videos that are with billions of views of these regular children playing with toys, unboxing new toys. They are multi-millionaires, or their parents are, by having all these views on YouTube, the toy companies, and everybody sends them stuff to make an unboxing video of, and it's just wild. It's 21st century niche way to become a multimillionaire, and you know, these are the things that are the algorithm is sending to my daughter, and most of them are fine. I mean, they're, you know, she knows when Christmas comes, she knows what she wants because she's watched it all year on YouTube. It's different than having the Sears catalog like I had when I was her age, and I could say, man, I want this football out, you know, football equipment. I want this Ninja Turtle. You know, it's not like that. And she doesn't watch regular network television, so she's not getting the Barbie commercials and the Mattel, you know, all that stuff. She is seeing these weird YouTube videos of these kids playing with toys. And the reason I say this is because, you know, some of them you have to watch, and they're like these little girls that are throwing fits. It's like they're acting, but they're pretending to like throw fits and storm off and cry. And you know, we started to see my daughter do some of that stuff. She's doing what she was watching, and you have to say, you know, that's not okay. Cut that off. Correct her behavior. And so we've always been parents, my wife and I, that are aware of what she is consuming. When it's something that we don't like, or it's inappropriate, obviously, or it's just creating behavior that we don't like, we put a stop to it and cut it off. And so JoJo has always been somebody that I don't have to worry about. I've done research. I've watched her things. She is an amazing young lady, bubbly, happy, outgoing, beautiful, just cute and wholesome, and everything else. I have no problem with her being a role model for my daughter. Having said that, you always, when these teen and child superstars grow up a little bit, and my daughter is not grown up yet. She's 5. She'll be 6, and she won't be 6 until this July. And so, this last year or so, my wife and I have been keeping a little bit closer look on JoJo and her social media, her everything else, just to see, you know, is she going to go down that cautionary tale of Miley Cyrus and Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears and all of this stuff. And do we want my daughter to continue to consume that if she goes that way? And with the world the way it is, it's widely acceptable for wholesome Disney Channel, Nickelodeon stars to when they turn 18, become adult stars, and everything that comes with that. You know, the hip hop music video atmosphere, as opposed to the Mickey Mouse clubhouse, right? And so even if like Christina Aguilera, I mean, I don't think she ever went off the rails. She was never on drugs or did anything wild, but she grew up and to make money in that industry, she had to have sex appeal, of course, right? And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But you don't want your 5-year-old daughter to be watching some of those videos that Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears began to do after they turned 18. And so you want to keep an eye on that. And so we have been keeping an eye on JoJo Siwa. Simple as that. And so when this news came out this last week that JoJo was coming out of the closet as an openly gay young lady. My wife and I sat down and said, you know, we heard the news. We saw it on, I saw it on CNN, a CNN alert. I started to read some of the reactions to it. And I had to sit down and think, where do I stand? How do I feel about this? And to tell you the truth, my wife and I, we have our beliefs, and we have our, what we believe is right. But the thing that trumps all of that in our eyes is the greatest commandment that we are given as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. And that is to love everyone. Love your neighbor as thyself. We love you for who you are. The fact that JoJo Siwa has come out and said that she is a lesbian, that doesn't change my view of her whatsoever. Simply because she loves another woman does not change in my eyes who she is as a person. And she still, to me, is a wholesome young lady who is a good influence on my daughter. Now, if she starts to come out and dress immodestly, and she starts to twerk and grind on people at the Grammys, then, you know, I still will love her as a person, but I will have to limit what my daughter sees, right? But that has nothing to do with her sexual orientation. It has nothing to do with her personal relationships. And I am fully aware the controversy in that, with especially with the so quote unquote conservative right or religious right. Tell you a quick story, a personal story about, you know, where my views on homosexuality have come from. I remember when I was probably 10 years old. Going to the bus stop with my older brother, Richie, who was 3 years older than me. I remember walking to the bus stop with him. And actually, I take that back. I would have had to have been 7 years old, 8 at the most, because we lived in our old house. And we would ride, we would drive, we would walk a couple blocks to the bus stop in Glen Meadows. We lived on Cinnabar Circle, for those of you who live in Safford. And I remember some of the older kids that would ride by on their bikes and pick fun of my older brother. And they would call him things like the F word, F-A-G, F-A-G-G-O-T. I don't say that word because I know how hurtful it is. They would say things like, hey, queer. They would call him gay. They would call him the F word. And I remember seeing the horror on his face. And I didn't even know what that was. I was 7 or 8 at the most. Because when I was 8 that summer, we moved into a new house away from that neighborhood. As I got into junior high and high school, I on a weekly basis, monthly basis, my friends, people around my age would ask me about my older brother. Is he gay? There's no secret that he was different than us. My younger brother and I were in athletics. That's all we did. My older brother was into music. He played the piano, the saxophone. He was a great actor in drama. During the summer, we would go to sports camps and he would go to theater camp. And you know, he carried himself a little different. He wasn't like feminine or anything like that, but he just was just different. And people would always ask me if he was gay. And I would say, I don't know. I don't care. I don't know. But I did care because he was my older brother and I loved him and I looked up to him, and it hurt me when people would say that and they would laugh at it and joke, make fun of it and things like that. And so, you know, there came a time when I got a little bit older and realized, probably in junior high, that yeah, my brother is gay. And it was just something that I knew, but was never talked about. In fact, it wasn't talked about until I came home from my first combat tour in 2009. So I was 23, he was 26. And my dad sat me down and said, "Your brother has come out as gay." And it was no surprise to me or my dad or my mom or my brother or my family. It just is what it was. What it was, we knew. And at that time in 2009, the Obama administration had not even publicly supported gay marriage. The most progressive presidential administration probably ever in 2009 still did not support publicly gay marriage. And it was so, I can't imagine how hard and difficult that trial has been in my brother's life. Because talking to him, he knew that he was gay, that something was different with him since he was 5 years old. And it wasn't a choice that he made. As a 5-year-old, he didn't wake up one day and say, "I think I'm going to like men." That didn't happen. I can guarantee you that. And I have other close friends that are also gay and that have wrestled with it their entire lives. And they too knew at a young age, and they did not choose that. I don't know why God gives that trial, because it is a trial, the way that the world looks at it. And United States of America, for those everyone who hates on the United States of America, is so much more accepting and progressive when it comes to this. We always have been. There are places still in the world that will execute you simply because you're gay. And discrimination and all that is horrendous. So the fact that an 18-year-old childhood star, JoJo Siwa, feels comfortable with everything she has on the line, multi-million dollar, probably on a clear path to multi-billion dollars of net worth for her, as she continues to amass followers and supporters, and she continues to make the right decisions in her business, to partner with manufacturers. And I mean, look at Kylie Jenner. She's a billionaire because she made a makeup product. She didn't have the platform, or she didn't have the infrastructure that JoJo Siwa has as she grows, becomes an adult. So there's a lot riding on that. And the fact that she feels comfortable to come out and say, this is who I am, I was born this way, and I am accepting of who I am, and I have reached full self-acceptance, and I'm happy, and I am wholesome, and I'm doing the right things. I can name a million things that would be worse than her coming out in the open and saying, I'm gay. So how do you sit down and talk to your 5-year-old about that? It makes it a little easier in our situation, because Uncle Richie is openly gay and has an amazing partner that my daughter and son interact with. And so we've had that discussion with her. And when it comes up about JoJo, then we'll have that conversation as well. But the number one conversation that we have with her is that we are not to judge other people, and we are to love them. That's it. As long as you're following that commandment, to not judge and to simply love, that's all you need to know. I know what it feels like to be looked down upon. I know what it feels like to be judged. I know what it feels like to be discriminated against because of something, that struggle that you have. And so I will teach my children to not do that to other people. Listen to the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. All right, welcome back to the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. We're going to wrap this up, because there's not a whole lot to talk about. I mean, I will discuss this, though. The amount of hateful comments and reactions to JoJo Siwa and her coming out as a lesbian that I've seen from people that oh man, it just irks me to no end. People who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, they go to church every Sunday, they profess to be these great Christian people, and to see the vile hatefulness in their tone and demeanor and their words and reactions to this news disgusts me to no end. Get a grip on yourself, people. Get a hold of yourselves. It's just unbelievable to me how evil and hateful people can be. And it's the people that are supposed to be the most compassionate and most understanding and most forgiving and empathetic people. What gospel are you reading from? I don't get it. I don't understand your hatefulness. I try to understand it. And like I said at the beginning of this, my wife and I and my family, we have our beliefs. I believe the Bible to be the Word of God. But in that same Bible, it says this new commandment is to love one another as I have loved you. It also talks about not judging people. And it also talks about forgiving people. I just don't get it. I just don't get the judgmentalness, the hatefulness, the sickening, vile. I just don't understand it. Why? Why do we have to be so hurtful? You really think JoJo Siwa woke up one day and said, I'm gonna choose to be gay? You really think my brother? Because we were raised the same way. Same exact way. Same exact parents. Same exact influences. Same exact everything. And at 5 years old, he knew. And I watched the toll that struggle and that trial had on him and his mental health as he got into high school and graduated, and the anguish that he went through to finally get to a point when he was nearly 30 years old to finally feel comfortable enough to just be who he was and to love who he loved. I don't care what you think God believes. That's not your responsibility. It's not your role. You are not God. And really, I wouldn't care too much about it. And if you, all of you, and if the shoe fits, wear it and look at yourself in the mirror. Why is it that it's always the self-professed followers of Christ that are the most hateful and most judgmental and most hurtful people? How could that be? How is that possible? And if that's you, and if your reaction to Jojo Siwa's statement was to be angry at her and to be hateful towards her and to say, to tell your young child who idolizes her to abruptly say you are not to watch her ever again simply because she's gay? I'm not God either, but who's committing the bigger sin? I don't know. It's not for me to thankfully, that's not for me to judge, but I can speculate. Forgive me if that is a sin, but I don't know, man. It's just in... And like I said, I will would limit or even stop my daughter from watching Jojo Siwa if Jojo Siwa becomes a bad influence on my 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, whatever. But the fact that she simply came out as gay, I'm sorry, but that is not a reason to cancel Jojo Siwa in my house. And I wish her all the best. My prayers are with her. I do hope that she continues to be a positive, modest influence in little girls and boys' lives. I suspect that as she grows into adulthood, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, that she will be involved in some more adult-themed music and dancing and all that. I understand that's part of her career path, probably. And when that happens and when that comes, those are things that I will have to monitor and censor from my daughter to see until she is old enough to make her own decisions about that. But, and I don't want to beat this dead horse, but the fact that right now today, a day before her announcement, if you believe that she was wholesome and good and a great influence, and then the day after, simply because she said, I'm gay and I have a girlfriend, to each their own. And I'm not telling you or judging you on how you parent your child. I'm just simply giving you my perspective. And in my perspective, that is not a reason to cancel her in my house. So, I'd love to know what all of you think about this. Comment on the video. Any anti-LGBTQ comments or hatefulness, I will delete because I don't have any room for that on my platforms. But I will engage in meaningful debate and discussion and dialogue that's respectful because let's face it, this is something that our society is faced with at an increasing rate. There are so many young teenagers that are suffering in silence, that are trapped. That struggle and how they wrestle with that in a Christian environment is one of the reasons for a high teenage suicide rate. That issue and substance use disorder issues, which often go hand in hand, because the mental health of the person who is in the closet and not able to be themselves and hate themselves because of the feelings that they have. I don't care what you think. I would rather my daughter be able to come to me and say, "Daddy, I am gay." Than to be in her room as a 12, 13, 14-year-old and feel like her only option is to hang herself or to kill herself some other way. There's so many things that are worse in my eyes. I would love my daughter if that was the case and that happened. I would love her even more and I would accept her. We all need to be a little bit more accepting and forgiving and compassionate. Because there are millions of young men and women, teenagers, preteens, that are committing suicide because they're afraid to admit to themselves, to their parents, to their friends, to the world, that they are different. And the way that we deal with this issue and the way that we treat and judge those innocent young individuals is quite frankly a stain on our country and we need to do better. We need to do better the way we handle and treat the LGBT community, and we the same way we need to simply do better in terms of race relations and racism in every facet of our society. It's just the way I feel. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. I hope my perspective informs your perspective and gives you something to think about. Either way, I won't judge you for your beliefs, just like I would hope that you wouldn't judge me for mine. Catch you on the next episode of the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. Thank you very much.